with the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. If you've seen something strange, a cryptid like Bigfoot, a UFO, a ghost, anything paranormal, or if you know of a story you think we should cover, you can email us, strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com. So this is literally our first non-Springheel Jack episode in weeks.
In a fortnight. I could have lost two Little Blue Jackets in that time.
Oh my gosh, that's a reference to...
Beatrix Potter. Right?
Yes. What's the rabbit?
Peter?
Peter Rabbit, yes.
Where his mom is like passive-aggressively blaming him for losing things by trying to get some good food.
We've started our garden, and we have our own little bun that's not Echo, not our pet bun. We have plenty of wild rabbits who are bound to lose their little blue jackets in our garden because, try as we might, keeping the rabbits out is going to be...
It's going to be difficult.
One thing about our neighborhood, there's no shortage of rabbits.
There are plenty of rabbits.
Hope everybody's doing well out there. We're going to have two guests on tonight. First, we're going to be talking with Victor, and a little bit later on in the show, we will be talking with Art. They both have some strange stories they're going to share with us. If you're podcast fans, which I assume you are, and paranormal podcast fans in general, you'll be hearing Josh and I lots of different places.
Let's try and mix it up for those of us who might listen to more than one podcast.
I think so far we've done, I think, 4 interviews.
I've overheard them being recorded, and they tend to each take on a theme or like a slightly different tone, I think.
Yeah, there's some points that we tend to hit with each one, but in general, I think everyone's asked us kind of different questions. Everyone's focus has been on a little bit different aspects of the book. The book I'm talking about, in case you've missed previous episodes, is called Where the Footprints End, High Strangeness and the Bigfoot Phenomena, Volume 1, which is now available on Amazon.com. You can find it under my name, Timothy Renner. You can find it under Josh's name, Joshua Cutchin. Or you can look up the title, Where the Footprints End, and you'll find it. I will have copies soon. My shipment of books was damaged. It was almost here.
Yeah, it made it within an hour, and then it was like, yeah, it's turning around, start over again.
Yeah, so it has to be returned to the printer, and then the process starts over again.
I'm curious to know what happened, but...
I have no clue. It's very, very frustrating because it's wonderful to see. People are putting up pictures of where the footprints end, like, look what came in the mail. And
but you haven't gotten a copy yet.
I have my proof copy with all the mistakes in it. Mm-hmm. I do not have the corrected final copy yet. So I'm waiting on copies of that. As soon as I get them, I will put them up in the Etsy shop. A lot of people have been asking, how can I get a signed copy from you? As soon as I get them, they'll be on the Etsy shop, and I'll put a post up for patrons as well, how to get them directly from me. If you're in the Strange Familiars Gathering group, I'll put a post up there as well on Facebook. So you'll have different options how to get signed copies if you're waiting for those. At this point, at least a week and a half probably out for those, maybe 2 weeks. Everything's slowed up because of the sequester. We will get to Victor's story in just a moment. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? You can visit BetterHelp.com, that's BetterHelp.com/strangefamiliars, and join the over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. We can all use it sometimes.
I think we can all use it now.
Seems like now's the good time for it. There's a constant low-level anxiety, I feel like, in these times that everyone is dealing with.
Bubbles up into a high anxiety and sometimes crosses over to something that is not easily managed on your own.
It's absolutely there for everyone I've talked to. Everyone's dealing with it differently, but sometimes you need somebody to talk to help you deal with it. And BetterHelp would be great for that. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating with them in under 24 hours. Remember, it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. This is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available worldwide. You can log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses from that. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. There's a special offer for Strange Familiars listeners. You can get 10% off your first month. You go to BetterHelp.com. Remember, that's Better, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/strangefamiliars. And you can get 10% off your first month. All right, now let's hear from Victor, who has this really interesting story. It sounds, for all the world, like it's going to be a Bigfoot encounter for everything that happens before.
Are there smells involved?
There are not smells involved, but there's sounds and there's some things he sees that it sounds very much like it's going to be a Bigfoot encounter. And then it takes this hard left turn into the completely bizarre, and he sees something that's really wacky, which I have to admit, I absolutely love. It's so weird, I absolutely love it. But Victor also talks about some precognitive stuff he has on some shadow figures and so forth. So let's go ahead and hear Victor's stories. All right, tonight we're talking with Victor, who has several strange experiences to share with us, including one I'm really excited to talk about, which is very, very weird, about some disembodied legs. How are you doing tonight, Victor?
Not too bad. Thanks, Tim.
Where do you want to start with this stuff?
Why don't we start with the headline thing?
Okay.
Here.
All right. Yeah, it's
with
really,
the
really...
legs. I think that's the best thing I have to offer, so let's go from there.
All righty.
So I grew up in upstate New York, and one weekend pastime my family always enjoyed was boating. We would go up to this lake at the foothills of the Adirondacks, and we'd been to this lake a million times. And this one time in particular, I was about 15 or 16 at the time. We were up there with a few family friends, so we're boating around very slowly, schmoozing. I'm just kind of a antsy and bored kids, so I noticed there's this island that I've seen a few times, every other time that we've been at this lake. I'm a fairly woodsy kid. I'd always enjoyed exploring new natural places, so I'd always wanted a chance to explore this island and really just had never had the chance before. So I asked my dad if it'd be all right if he could just boat over, drop me off, I'll go explore a little bit, and then they'll be in the area so I can just flag them down when I'm done. Mm-hmm. So being the cool dad that he is, he said no problem. They'd had no problem letting me run around in the woods around where we grew up since I was maybe 12, so this is really nothing new. So they dropped me off there. It's not a huge island, but enough natural space that you can, you know, really move around and explore, maybe 20 acres or so. So I go in, I disappear off into the woods, and I find there's this network of trails running throughout the island. I find there, as I'm following them, there are these campsites. I know now that this is actually an island that is more or less owned by the Boy Scouts, and I was very much trespassing by being there without a permit, but let's not worry too much about that. And three things happened in fairly quick succession. So I continue along the, I guess, eastern side of the island. I come up to the top of this crest. I come to this point where I can see through the wood line back down to the water. And then silhouetted against the water, I just kind of see this black mass just drift down from the trees. It honestly did not look that weird to me at the time. It was, I could still explain this away as just being a clump of leaves on a dead branch that hadn't quite fallen off yet. It's just the way that it moved that kind of sticks with me. And honestly, if it hadn't been for the rest of the stuff that would come after, I really never would have remembered this. But it was just this black mass with kind of ragged edges, and it kind of glided down. So I think, that's weird. And I just trot over in that direction to go see if I can find out what that was. Not feeling particularly freaked out or anything, I'm just curious. And I get to the area, and there's really nothing to be found. At that point, as I'm looking around, off to my left, which would be inland relative to me, I hear this clack, 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 clack. This, it sounds like wood rapping against wood, except it's not just coming from my left, it's coming from up. So I look up. This is not an elevated island. There's no cliffs or anything. I see this branch, maybe a foot or two long, pinwheeling through the upper limbs of the trees. And I immediately realize it is still arcing upward as I look at it. And it's coming basically in my direction. So if sticks obviously do not have a tendency to fall upwards. So
right.
I figure at that point, somebody's having a little fun with me. I had seen the encampment, so it very much occurred to me that maybe somebody was enjoying themselves, messing with the kid that wasn't supposed to be there. It wasn't moving fast enough to actually hit me or anything. It just landed looking like it had been thrown in my direction. Now, from where I'm standing, I'm at the top of this ridge, and there's this kind of, there's a downslope heading inland. And from my vantage point, I should be able to see the point from which it was thrown. So keeping my vision locked on that area, I just start trotting down in that direction and try to find whoever it was that threw this at me. Because at this point, I'm still thinking this was, you know, just the Boy Scout or somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'm running down, I'm looking behind all the trees, and I can absolutely find nothing. And there's, I really can't stress how much the topography would prevent anybody from getting away without running through your line of vision from here, unless, I don't know, you need like a ghillie suit and know exactly where to hide to not be seen. So at that point, I'm weirded out at that point and figure, okay, now's probably a good time to be heading back to the beach. I still am, I guess, by default thinking that somebody's just having fun with me, and regardless, best to move out of the area and get back on the boat when I can. So a couple minutes go by, I am trotting back down the back down the path towards the beach, and then I hear this sound off to my left, like somebody running through leaves over uneven ground. And I turn to my left, and there's no real other way to say it. I just see this pair of disembodied legs sprinting full tilt through the forest. And my eyes lock on them. They kind of looked, I'm not sure if it was just motion blur or now maybe because of some other tales I've heard, maybe I'm wondering if they were, as an image, just kind of a little blurry. Mm-hmm. But let's just say motion blur for the time being. My eyes lock on these things for a good, at least 3 seconds. I think it was more like 6 or 7, but in times like these, you never really know.
Yeah, things tend to slow down in a sense.
Right. And they are running past me, not far away, maybe 15 feet at most. And then they just blink out of existence.
Wow.
Just simple as that. And I'll tell you, the leaves that they were running through, as soon as they disappeared, I could still see the leaves that had been kicked up in its passing, still drifting down through the air. And yeah, it just vanished into thin air at that point. I very much wanted to get off the island, ran back, and have been completely baffled by the idea since.
Wow. Okay, so how quickly were you able to flag your family down and come get you?
Pretty quickly. They were in the area. This was still in the days of cell phones. I don't remember if I had flagged them down with my arms or had called them, but quick enough, yeah.
Yeah, was your head on a swivel the whole time until you got out of there?
Yes, absolutely. I'm usually scanning around me whenever I'm in the woods. I'm comfortable in the woods too. I wasn't expecting to see anything. The woods were a new experience for me. I think it was only a year after this that I climbed my first Adirondack High Peak. I'm now most of the way to being a 46er. I'm pretty comfortable in the woods, but mm-hmm. yeah, I had my head on the swivel. Like, yeah.
Wow. So can you describe these legs anymore? What did they look like?
Sure. They looked hairy, but not Bigfoot hairy. They were, I guess, hairy in the way that my legs are hairy. But other than that, I could say they were Caucasian. They didn't seem particularly large or anything. Just aside from the fact that there was no top half, they looked like a fairly normal pair of human legs.
Naked, essentially?
Yes, yes. Didn't see anything else, but...
Right, right. And maybe did it end at the waist, or did it end at the thigh? I'm just like trying to get a picture.
I think probably about hip bone level.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, yeah.
Wow. That is so bizarre. That is so bizarre. And you'd put them within, like you said, within normal human height range. It wasn't like they were.
Yeah, this didn't look like it belonged to anything 7 or 8 feet tall. No,
right. Yeah. And how close did you say they came to you?
I think it must have been at most 15 to 20 feet.
Wow. See, that's close.
Yeah, and they were running on a line past me. So when they showed up, when I first started hearing the crashing through the leaves, I guess it would have been about like 270 degrees dead to my left. And then they disappeared at about 30 degrees to the left from the direction I was facing.
Mm-hmm. So,
I always, whenever people start as a group telling paranormal stories, I always have to try to gauge the room. Is this a weird enough group that I'm not going to get laughed out of the room? Or do I keep this one to myself?
It's completely bizarre, but I mean, you know, I've heard tales like it. We had a tale of, I think, Bigfoot legs on the show. That was
What made me call in. I'd never heard a story that's even came close to resembling this. I was absolutely blown away when I heard it.
Yeah, very, very strange, though. But, I mean, 15 feet is close enough to get a, you know, to be sure what you're looking at. Let's say that. Like, you know,
easy within throwing distance.
Mm-hmm.
Even, I could be okay with the idea that whatever I saw, my brain just made it something, I guess, a little more familiar, something that is more interpretable. But mm-hmm. even if we say, okay, it wasn't a pair of legs. Let's say it was still something. It was still something large enough to kick up those leaves, something large enough to block out that large space of the woods behind it.
Right.
And yeah. So there was also no concealing foliage in front of it. I was in a fairly empty area. This was mostly just undergrowth.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was going to say, so you're on a path and this pair of legs is running not mm-hmm. on a path, I assume, or across the path? Or?
No, this would have been off on the undergrowth. It was mostly ivy and dead leaves over there.
Okay. Really, really strange. I mean, I'd ask you what you thought it was, but I don't know that anybody would have an answer other than, I don't know. Yeah.
It's been years, and I am no closer to an answer than I was that day.
Yeah, really, really strange. So the rest of the time out of there, once they disappeared, I guess, mm-hmm. the legs disappeared, no more weirdness. You're just...
Nope. But it was only about, I'd say about 100 feet or so to the edge of the woods. So this was right before I was out of the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. What year did you say this was?
I was about 15 or 16. This would have been around 2000 and I want to say 2006 or so.
Okay. Wow, that's a weird one. I mean, I love yeah. it. I absolutely love it, but that is a weird one. I hope we get some more stories once people hear that.
Absolutely. I would love to hear that.
Yeah. All right, so let's hear about some of these other stories, yeah.
Sure. Let's see. I guess we'll go from chronological order in that point. So, as a kid, I was always... Full disclosure, very into the paranormal. I was just one of those people that had that particular draw. Like you, I had the set of books in the library that I would just start taking out one after the other. It wasn't Man, Myth, and Magic, but mm-hmm. it was some other series, one about UFOs, one about crop circles, and so on and so
right,
forth.
Right, yeah.
So I did kind of admittedly steep myself in this kind of stuff. So maybe I was a little primed to see things the way I wanted to, but... Things started getting a little weird around the time, I guess I was, is the 12 to 15 range that most of the weirdness happens. I guess it started with some low-grade poltergeist activity. Honestly, I feel almost a little silly bringing it up with the extent of the activity you have as a matter of course on your show, but this was fairly low-grade. This was just every now and then an object that should not have moved would move off a shelf or something. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing out of all that was always that it never just happened completely on its own. I would always be in the room, and for one reason or another, I would always happen to look at that object, and then it would fall.
Interesting.
Every time it happened, always like that.
Mm-hmm.
Around that time, actually, no, this is probably when I was closer to 11 or 11, 12. This was when I was at the age that my parents were comfortable letting me be home alone for at least short periods of time.
Right.
I had gotten off the school bus. My mom wasn't quite home yet. And I'm starting to do my homework in the dining room. And then I suddenly hear the front door open and close. And we have this set of chimes hanging off the front door, which as a teenager, I wound up being really annoyed by whenever I wanted to go out for a midnight walk or something. But whenever the front door would open, it would always make this very obnoxious chang, cha-chang, chang, chang series of noises. So the opening of the front door was not something you really mistaked. And I assume mom's home, so I call out to her, get no response, poke my head out, nobody's there, go over to the door, it's still locked. And luckily, this was still the age of cell phones, so I was able to call my mom and have her stay on the line with me till she got home.
Right.
That was just one of the lesser issues. The low-grade precog stuff started, I say low-grade, but maybe not, started, I guess, when I was in middle school. I had one of the first iPod Touch models,
mm-hmm.
and I found that there was this Zener card app, so the ESP cards with the square, circle, cross, star, etc.
Right, yeah.
And actually, being a very nerdy kid, I did do a test to see if it was actually randomly generating these, and found that it absolutely was. And as time went on, I would just take it out and, almost as an exercise, try to guess whatever the next one was, because, you know, when you're one of these very nerdy kids, you do want something to be a little special about yourself, so you're hoping that you might be the one to show some kind of ESP abilities. And I found that I actually could guess the next shape that would pop up with really alarming frequency. I think my record was 17 or 18 in a row.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And I also remember that a lot of the times when I was wrong, like, I would get some detail about it right. Like, I would always mistake the cross for the square or vice versa, like, always something with right angles.
Mm-hmm.
The precog thing that really wound up standing out to me, one of my best friends, still my best friend to this day, he was going for a concert down in New York City. So that night, I had taken up actually meditation not too long before that, because I had already become a very chronic insomniac, and that was one of the regular ways I could actually get myself to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I was meditating at one point, and I was kind of in that, you know, half in, half out of a sleep state where you start getting sometimes these half dreams. Like, you're still awake, but you almost feel like you're dreaming.
Yeah, yeah.
And given came after, I might almost just want to start calling it a vision, but I got this image of this man in a very brightly lit area. I immediately got the impression of a busy city center. I saw him running out of a store with this bag clutched to his chest. He goes taking off. The background is very blurry, so there were people-looking shapes that were all around, but everything was kind of out of focus and not the subject of whatever I was seeing. He goes running out, and then behind him runs a police officer. The first man turns around and draws a gun, fires, I think, two shots. Then the police officer, his gun's already out, fires, it's been a long time, but I think four or five, and kills the guy.
Hmm.
The next morning, I walk out, my mom's making breakfast, and we have the TV on. And the story that is currently being told is of a shooting in Times Square, where a criminal, I guess somebody robbed a store or a vendor and was taking off, tried to fire back at a police officer. And I looked up the news article later online, and apparently the shot counts were correct.
Oh, wow.
And the interesting thing was that my best friend had just walked through Times Square probably about 3 hours before this had happened. Huh. I didn't normally get things like this, but he and I always seemed to have a odd sort of mutual synchronicity. Like, we would always have vivid dreams at the same time, or dreams with similar subjects.
Mm-hmm.
So that one day that he happened to be walking through Times Square and that happens, that I just happened to get that dream. And one other thing I noticed was that, according to the article, the officer had been in plain clothes, not in a uniform like I had seen. But now looking back, I kind of realized that whereas the image was wrong, the symbolism was correct. I wouldn't have known that guy was a cop if I hadn't seen him in a police uniform.
Mm-hmm, right.
in the dream.
Right.
That's probably the most stringent or strident example I have
right.
from those years.
And I mean, how do you, so as you know, you're still a young person at this time,
mm-hmm.
when this happens, how do you kind of square with that? Or do you just, I guess I'm wondering if it's easier as a young person to just go, oh, that's weird, and move on, or if it's more affecting as a young person to go, uh-oh, whoa, why am I dreaming that?
I remember it really did kind of put me through a loop. At that age, I was still very inquisitive. I grew up to be a scientist, so I wanted to ask all the questions about everything. And mm-hmm. when you run into something like that, or a pair of naked legs running through the woods, there's just no answers readily available. So
sure.
This has always just been something that's kind of been squared away in the background, because I grew up in a very secular home. I was raised, I guess, culturally Jewish, but only nominally, even at that degree. My dad wanted me to have the cultural background, but didn't much care for the religious upbringing. So we were de facto atheists or agnostics. So mm-hmm. there was not really any framework for me to start analyzing any of this, except the often dubious paranormal articles and books that were out there.
Right. As a young person, having had this experience, were you worried about it then? Like, oh, am I going to see more things like this, you know? Or was it fairly...
Honestly, I was fascinated more than anything else. I never really had a bad experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, aside from, I guess, the legs, though I wouldn't characterize that as being particularly traumatic. But, no, this is always just something I was very interested in. And when I lay out all these stories in one go, it seems, you know, like I had a lot of stuff happening. But it's very dispersed when you look at it as a whole.
Oh yeah, and that's not uncommon for people to have
you know
multiple things.
Actually, there was one other incident. I'm not even sure if you want to leave this in, because this absolutely could have just been a dream that I had when I was maybe 6 or 7 or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always interested in these stories, some of which you've had, I think, on the show, about things that appear to be like manifestations, but almost children's projections, like a cartoon character or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember we were coming home from, so I'll just again state, this is very possibly a dream, but for some reason my brain always had this filed as an actual memory, and that's how I had kind of processed this as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We were coming home from dinner one night. We had gotten out of the car. We were walking down the little patio path to our house. And I happened to look up, and I saw what I really can only describe as like a child's conception of a meteor. It was like just a massive pitted rock wreathed in flame, but not like the flames you would actually see around a meteor or something. It was like almost a campfire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just moving probably almost like airplane speed overhead. And I just looked at that, said, well, that's interesting, looked back down and went on my way, which is another reason I'm inclined to think it was just a dream, because you would expect I would say, hey, look at that, or do something, because I was a kid that was very interested in space.
Right.
So if I saw a meteor, I would lose my mind with excitement. But the only reason I hesitate to think that is just because of how vivid and how real the memory seemed to me.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all these other stories we have of people seeing something and then just going, oh, that's interesting, and going on with whatever they were doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that happens quite frequently, quite frequently. Yeah. And you wonder if, you know, for lack of a better word, these things are being skinned, you know?
Yeah, like, absolutely. That is one theory that I've really started to latch onto, very likely because of that thing, that particular, I don't know if I want to even call it an experience or image, whatever. It's just so clearly a child's conception of what a meteor would look like if it was animated in a children's book.
Right, right. Yeah, or I mean, even the legs. I mean, maybe that was just something so bizarre that it was skinned in such a way that that's the only way you could conceive, you know, that's how your head computed it. Either you skinned it that way in your own mind, like it was just too bizarre to compute, or whatever the other is just skinned it as like, hey, we'll just make a pair of legs, you know.
So throughout my life, I guess starting around when I was 15 or so, I did have a low-grade, still do have a low-grade electrical phenomenon. I'm not anything Soraya grade, luckily. I can wear a watch, but enough that it just all adds up, and you wind up spending so much money on replacement bulbs in one year that you really start to wonder.
Right, yeah. Especially with the newer bulbs that are supposed to last.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're supposed to last 5+ years, and they get me maybe 6 months.
Right, yeah, yeah.
My favorite incident, just because it was so comical, when I was living in these on-campus apartments during my undergrad, we were all sitting around the dinner table. All my roommate or apartment mates and I were just having dinner, and I sneezed. And at that exact moment, the light over the dinner table just blasted out. Which, that can always be chalked up to coincidence, but it was funny if nothing else. And everyone just sits back and stares at me.
Yeah.
I did a club sport in college, and I wound up a lot of the nights walking back with a group of my club mates from the gym where we practiced, and a lot of times I would walk underneath one of these lights that they had on campus, and it just winks out and goes right back on as soon as we pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the point where people would say, hey, watch it, Victor's about to turn out a few lights, watch.
It's a completely useless superpower.
Yes, I can't control it when I can actually make a game of it or anything. It just happens.
And what do you do with that? It's like, okay, I can turn the streetlight out, I guess, you know, with 80%+ accuracy, but whatever.
More than that, I've never had a router that worked completely correct in any place where I've lived. I've always gotten a different router in every place I've lived, and even if it wasn't one that I supplied, it was like at the university apartments or another student housing place I was in for a while. The Wi-Fi would never work correctly or reliably. It would always just randomly drop out and disconnect to the point that my friends would start complaining and would never want to be doing any kind of work over at my place. I think when the Amazon Kindle first came out, I absolutely loved it, but I went through about, I think, 3 of them over the course of a year and a half just because they would just randomly die on me.
Wow. Yeah, and those, I mean, I've had one for ages. Those are pretty solid. Mm-hmm.
That I've never had a smartphone last me more than a year and a half, just whatever reason. It's not iPhones either. I know iPhones have built-in forced obsolescence and starts malfunctioning after a certain amount of time, but no, not those. Everything else just stops working after long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can get to the other things that happened in that particular apartment I lived in.
Yeah.
All right, so the most attention-grabbing thing that we had. So there was this, I guess I'll start with the layout of the apartments because it's kind of relevant. When you'd walk in, it would just be one long hallway with the individual rooms splitting off to the left, then bathrooms on the right, and then towards the bottom of the apartments on the right, you would have the kitchen, and then it would break out into the common area. So one of my close friends who was living there with me, we were partners in this cell bio class. And we had a big report due the next day. So we just have our doors open and we're walking back and forth conferring with each other as we write this thing. I had ordered Chinese food that night. I'm putting the leftovers away in the kitchen. And I see my friend walk out my apartment, or sorry, my room is directly across from the kitchen. So I can see as my friend walks up to my door, looks into my apartment and starts looking down at the paper he's holding and asking me a question about what we're doing. And then he looks back up into my room, goes white as a sheet, freezes, turns around, looks at me, and just puts his hands on his head, exhales, and storms away.
Oh, wow.
I have to go running after him. And it's, I think, about 5 or 10 minutes before I can coax out what just happened. Apparently, he just walked up to my room, looked in, and saw me sitting in my chair, plain as anything. Looked down at his, looked back, and the other me was gone. He had seen the real me out of the corner of his eye and had just thought I was one of our other apartment mates. But right. He does not like to talk about that to this day.
Yeah,
that was the biggest thing out of that apartment.
By location.
Yeah. I'll hope I never have to see my own doppelganger. I hear that's very bad luck.
Oh, really?
Apparently, that means you're going to die, so let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I've had several people around the South Central Pennsylvania area will just come up to me out of nowhere and just like, I know you from somewhere. I'm like, I was like, I don't know. You know, I have no clue, but they will insist that, you know, they know me from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I don't have a doppelganger walking around that I will meet someday.
Yeah, no, that would be disconcerting. I think you immediately have to duel if you ever meet them.
I think, was it John Keel who ran into himself one time?
It might have been John Keel, yeah. I read the Mothman Prophecies about a year and a half ago at this point, so my memory is a little foggy. But
I'm trying to, if it wasn't John Keel, I think it was one of his contemporaries, but basically ran into himself. So, oh, that must be a weird experience.
So the rest of the things in that apartment, we had regular low-level shadow people in that apartment. And the thing that always interested me was that it was never just one person saying, oh yeah, I saw something out of the corner of my eye. It would usually be my friend and I standing, talking to each other, and then both looking to the same corner or the same wall at the same moment. And just looking back at each other and saying, you saw that too, right? And beyond that, also, we would hear people walking down the length of our hallway when the door was closed and nobody was up. My friend was much closer to the door out than I was and would always claim that the door would regularly open itself even when locked.
Mm-hmm.
And probably most disconcertingly, one of my other apartment mates claimed that he had one of them standing over him while he was sleeping, though he later chalked that up to just stress-induced nightmares. But that was without him knowing that my other friend and I had been seeing glimpses of something regularly.
Right. Now, when you say shadow people, I've had a couple different descriptions of them. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get a good look at them?
I never got a good look. This is not something that you still saw once you turned and focused, but it out of your corner of the eye, it looked very much human-shaped and human-sized.
Mm-hmm.
But when you try to focus on it, it's just gone. Just a amorphous black, maybe 5 to 6 foot tall shape out of the corner of your eye.
Right. Yeah, I think apartments, you know, people look for activity in, you know, big old Victorian mansions and stuff, and sure, it can be there, but I think it was Jeff Ritzman who pointed out what liminal places apartments are and how much activity you do get in apartments.
Yeah, we did a little digging to try to find out if there had been any, you know, other structure on the ground beforehand, but no, apparently absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I don't think that matters anymore.
Honestly, I've stopped thinking that. When I was maybe in fourth or fifth grade, my parents at one point just kind of sat me down and said, no, the house isn't haunted. Nobody died here, a little impatiently, because I just kept going on about how we're having poltergeist activity. And I just loved using the word poltergeist because I was 12. But no, since then I've very much moved away from the idea that, you know, you need to have had a person die traumatically in a house or anything else along those lines. Just since the incident with the legs, I've come to embrace the weird.
Yeah, that would kind of drive it home, I think. Victor, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your stories.
No problem, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Next time you see some legs running through the woods, you know, make us your first stop.
You know I will.
Awesome. Thank you.
Strange Familiars is brought to you by Wild Foods. You can find them at wildfoods.co, where you can enter the code STRANGE for 12% off your entire order. You know I'm a fan of chocolate. Wild Foods Wild Keto Bar is awesome. You could use it as a snack, you could use it as a treat, and you don't have to be on the keto diet to enjoy it.
No, because I am definitely not on that diet, and I really enjoyed it.
Wild Foods products, you can feel good about eating, no matter what they are, because they're sustainably sourced. They care about where their products come from, and they get them from small farms around the globe. They sell everything from coffee to mushrooms. One of their top sellers is their wild fish oil, which is certified by Friends of the Sea. It's sustainably sourced, meaning the fish population never drops during the harvesting. The fish goes directly from the boats to processing. There's no middleman, making them extremely fresh. There's no burping like you're used to with other fish oil. There's a liquid version that has a slight lemon flavor, but neither version of their fish oil tastes fishy at all. The capsules go down easy and provides your body with the essential omega-3s it needs.
Check out Wild Foods for quality, healthy, sustainable food and wellness products. Find them at wildfoods.co, not .com, and don't forget to enter the code STRANGE for 12% off your entire order.
And we want to thank Wild Foods for sponsoring Strange Familiars.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, next we're going to hear from Art, and I want to note that he says this year a couple times in the interview. This interview was done at the end of 2019, so when he says this year, he means 2019. He doesn't mean this, like he references April of this year. He doesn't mean last month, he means about a year ago when you hear that. Art has several stories of these hooded figures, some roadside strangeness, a skinwalker encounter perhaps, some pretty neat stuff. So let's go ahead and hear from Art.
Tonight we're talking with Art, who has several stories of different strange things he's witnessed. Among them, several hooded figures, which is very, very interesting because it reminds me of the stories we had on a while back from the fellow in Germany who saw all the multiple hooded figures and so forth. How do you want to start this, Art? Do you want to go chronologically, or how do you want to tell the stories?
Going in order from when I was the youngest, because that one, the earliest story I have is probably the one that doesn't really relate to the other ones. And I guess it was a sleepwalking experience, but it just struck me as weird because I've never sleptwalked before then. And I can't remember if it was on your show or Where Did the Road Go, but I heard someone tell a similar story of they just remember going to bed in their bedroom and then waking up in the living room, which is what happened to me. I was at my grandparents' house, and they lived in a two-story house, and I was upstairs in the bedroom. And I think I was like 8 or 9-ish around this time. And I went to bed and everything, and then I just remember just waking up in the living room I don't remember lights, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
It stuck with me as just this weird memory.
Yeah. Were there adults around or anything when you woke up, or you were, you know, alone basically?
I wasn't alone in the house.
Right,
my grandparents were there.
In that room, though.
Yeah, I was just alone in the living room. I remember going to bed, and the next thing I know, I'm just standing in the living room in my PJs.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, could be sleepwalking.
Like I said, I've never sleepwalked before that incident, or after. Never had any other experiences with it, so.
Mm-hmm. You know, even these strange sleep experiences, we collect them here as well, because I think somehow they're related to all this. How, I don't know exactly, but it seems like they're tied in.
Yeah.
So a few years after the, weird sleepwalking experience, I was about 13 or 14. I think it was 7th or 8th grade. I was at my dad's house, and I had a friend who said she saw, like, a shadow man in the kitchen. And she freaked out and wanted to leave. I don't remember seeing it. I had never had any experiences. This friend had regular shadow people experiences. And so I just kind of blew it off because I had never had any weird experiences at the time. But then about 3 or 4 years later after that, I was asleep on the couch. And I woke up, and there by the door to like a game room was just this figure standing in a hood. And, you know, it kind of looked like the generic depictions of like what death looks like, or the Grim Reaper, where it's just a shadowy figure in a hood, but I couldn't see hands or face or anything. It didn't look like a human fabric, because it didn't look like silk or anything. It looked like it was a little smoky in that like darker than black that people have described.
Wow. Yeah.
And I remember telling my dad about it at a later incident, and he laughed at me and was like, "You're going to die." And I was like, "Thanks. That's..."
Oh, wow. That's comforting. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. And I asked my siblings and everything, and they said that they had never seen anything, but got really weird vibes at that house as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, they were like, none of my family liked the house. My dad even admitted, like, after he was done joking, he was like, "Yeah, I don't like the feelings that I get in this house." And so.
So did you have any more experiences there, or?
Not at that house. No, that was the only one that really happened there.
About how tall was this figure? Do you remember when you saw it? Did it look taller than your dad or the adults in your life, or was there anything that stood out?
Since it was standing next to the door, I was, about my height, and I'm about 6'1"-ish. And I would say it was a little bit shorter than I was.
So within normal human height range.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, like a massive, or it wasn't really tiny or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of these shadow people, you know, will tell me are 8 feet tall, 7 feet tall, you know, just a little bit, I guess not outside of the possible range of human height, but very, very unusually tall sometimes.
Like, it was comforting listening to some of your stories to know that, like, when people see these things and they just go back to sleep, that's like a normal reaction, because that's what happened. I looked at it and I was like, "All right," and then just kind of went back to sleep.
Yeah, that makes zero sense, but I've experienced it myself. It's completely bizarre.
Yeah, you'd think that, oh, hey, there's something in my house that shouldn't be here would be alarming to you, but
mm-hmm.
It's not until after that you kind of freak out about it.
Yeah.
About a year after this incident, I had moved out of my dad's house and into my mother's house, which was about 45 minutes away. I had a couple of events that happened really close together, and all within like the span of a couple of, like, I would say at most it was over 2 months.
Roughly what year was this happening?
When I lived with my dad, it was, I want to say, like 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lived with my mom, and these next events are going to take place around 2017-ish.
Okay, so somewhat recent. And as comfortable as you are, you know, and this can be down to, you know, state, county, town, however comfortable you are, about where was this taking place?
The events with my dad's were taking place in Texas, and it was in, like, kind of the DFW area. It's like Dallas and Fort Worth area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I just moved to the, it was, for my mom's, it was the other, almost the exact other side of the Dallas-Fort Worth area
mm-hmm.
when I went moved in with her. The first event when I was living with my mother is, the entire time I was living there, I kept telling her I didn't like the backyard. I was like, the backyard feels weird. I just don't like it. And she just was like, oh, it's, you know, there's an alleyway back there and that's what you don't like about it. And I kept insisting. I was like, no, no, there's, I don't like this backyard. And one night I was going through the backyard to take the trash out. And I look over and in the corner and there's this, just another one of these hooded figures. I believe it was the same one because it just looked so similar
mm-hmm.
to it. And it was just standing in the corner by the bushes watching me. And same as the last one, I just kind of looked at it and I was like, oh, all right. And I put the trash away and walked back inside. And I just continued on with my day. And then a few minutes later, I was just like, oh, all right. There was something out there while I was taking the trash out. I wish there was like sleep paralysis or something that I could just write it off with, but I was awake and, you know, taking out the trash and it was.
Yeah. Was this figure in like in any kind of light? Was this day or night, I guess?
It was nighttime. There was not a lot of light. There was like the porch lights,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I could see it there and it kind of like watched me as I walked by. Because I had to walk across the yard to get to the back fence. And, yeah, I could see it, like, it turned its head as I walked by. And I just kind of looked at it and then kept going about my chores.
Hmm. Yeah, that's very, very strange. Did you happen to hear our episode 108, the called Surrounded by Hooded Entities?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I will have to give that one a listen, though.
Yeah, the guest, Chad, he saw multiple hooded entities in Germany, and he described them the same way as you did. In other words, he said he couldn't see hands. He couldn't see faces. They were all in shadow. But there were these multiple hooded entities, and I don't know. It's been a while since I did the interview, and I'm drawing a blank if he said what color their robes were. But everything else you're describing is very much like what he described.
Yeah. And it's weird seeing them as the, cause like you see, I see them at night and then there's like a darker patch of darkness of.
Yeah. See, that's that blacker than black thing that people describe, you know, sometimes with shadow people, sometimes with other, you know, weird entities. And sometimes even with Bigfoot, people talk about that.
Yeah. I remember it was on, Where Did the Road Go? You were talking about how someone had seen a Bigfoot whose face was like a void.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and he had come on our show as well. I'd have to look up the episode number, but yeah, he said it was so dark it almost looked like his face was imploding.
That one gave me chills. I heard that story and I just got a chill down my spine, and I was like, I don't like that one bit.
Yeah, neither did he.
I can imagine.
Sorry to throw you off track. The next incident at your mom's was near in time to this one?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say it was, like, all these happened in the span of, at most, about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
This next incident, I'm fairly certain it was just someone doing something, but there was so much weird stuff happening. It's just a weird coincidence, I guess. I was out walking my dog and I heard like chains rattling and like someone was dragging a chain. And I was just like, oh, there's like a dog tied up somewhere. But it felt weird at the time. And it stuck out to me as just these weird chains being dragged. And I guess had no other weird things happened around this incident, I wouldn't have paid it any mind, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. When other weird stuff is happening, then things that you might normally just go, eh, whatever, they start to get your attention.
Yeah, there was... in another story that I have for a little... that I'm going to tell in a second, there was some stuff that happened that was just like normal everyday stuff, but because of what happened around it, it kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah.
So after the chain, like, this is the last one that was at my mom's house. After the chain, it was a couple, like I think a week or two later, we had like a art studio room that I slept in. I was just sitting there and I felt like something was staring at me. And I turned, and in the doorway that was less than like 2 feet from me, there was just another hooded figure standing there. And this was the closest it had ever gotten to me.
Wow.
And I did not like it one bit. This was the one time where I saw it and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. And
yeah, that's a little too close for comfort.
Yeah, before I could do anything, it just turned around because it was in a hallway. So I just turned around and walked up, and I got up. I jumped up and I tried to follow it, but it was gone.
Mm.
And, you know, I was grateful it was gone.
Yeah. Okay. And I always talk about stuff for the, you know, people who have these experiences or live in haunted houses and stuff. You have to go to sleep too, you know?
Yeah.
At some point you're going to have to sleep. So it's always bizarre dealing with this stuff.
Oh yeah. And you know, as much as I was glad that it was gone, at the same time, I kind of wish I could have been like, hey, can I help you with something? Do you need, like, you know, me to pray over you or something to help you move on or whatever it was? But yeah, I wish I could have said something like, hey, why are you just showing up randomly?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any there. I can't think of anything in my life that would be like, I guess, drawing it towards me or something. Like, I was a little stressed at this time, but it wasn't just normal, like everyday kind of stress, I guess. Nothing like drastic.
Right. Right.
And I think that was one of the last times I saw the hooded figures, and I haven't seen any since then. So I'm kind of grateful for that.
Yeah, I think, you know, because what's the end if they're coming closer and, you know, they don't seem to be limited to, like, you know, the first one you saw was at a different house. So they don't,
yeah.
It seems to be you, you know, that they're focused on, not so much like the place or something like that. So good riddance, I suppose.
Yeah, for now, I guess. Part of me wants to know. Like, I'm just genuinely curious. Why'd they show up with no warning and then disappear with no warning?
Right.
But I guess that's what everybody wants to know for all their experiences. Why did this happen then?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This next story happens a few months after the last hooded figure, but it happened, I would say, around April or May of this year. It was around April or May. I had just started this new job, and my manager was telling me that the place is haunted. She's was like convinced that the place was haunted, and I was like, yeah, that's cool, I guess. And we were having a like a game night at work after we had closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up to go to the restroom. And while I was in the restroom, the doorknob rattled like someone had just not seen me go into the restroom. And they're just trying the door. And it was locked. And, you know, after I finished up, I walked outside and there was nobody there. And I sat back with my coworkers and I was like, hey, was someone trying to go to the restroom? I'm out now. Y'all can go. They're like, we don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And, the manager of that place said she had an incident where she was alone in the kitchen and someone tapped on her shoulder. And when she turned around, there was just nobody there. I was grateful though for the, like, with the doorknob rattling on the door, just being a rattle. Cause I heard a story where this girl lived in a haunted house and regularly there would be something that would just hold the bathroom door shut so she couldn't get out.
Wow.
And so I was grateful that it was like, oh, just someone rattling the door. I was like, oh.
We did a haunted house story, and John, co-host John, who's on the show sometimes, he had a very similar story. It was a work event. He had gone to the bathroom, and they were having this event at this haunted house. I mean, not specifically because it was haunted, at a house that happened to be haunted, let's say. And went into the bathroom, and someone, very forcefully, I think, like, kicked or tried the door knob or both, I forget which. He said he actually came out very angry, thinking somebody had, like, was messing with him while I was in there. But, very similar story to yours. No one was there.
Yeah. I guess it kind of makes you think of, like, I forget what that term is. I get, like, echoes or something if just someone had, you know, tried to rattle the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then not the most, like, drastic or amazing thing, but it's still kind of freaky to have it happen.
Yeah, Yeah. Especially at a place where other people are saying, you know, this place is haunted.
Yeah. And, oh, I forgot to mention these. This story happened. It's more south of Dallas. It's kind of in between Austin and Waco is where this is happening now. You know, a little bit, it's a really small town. Let's see. After that one, I was driving a coworker. I was driving her home one day, and it was getting kind of late. And we were driving down the roads, and I take a turn, and there was just this old guy on the side of the road, and he was just dressed up real nice in a like nice suit and everything, just kind of standing there. And I nudged my coworker, and I was like, "Hey, did you see that old guy back there? He's, you know, we were kind of on a country road, and he's dressed in a suit." And I was like, "Did you see that guy? He was dressed a little weird and out of place." And she was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And I just kind of sat there and I looked at her and I was like, "No, please tell me you're messing with me. You saw the old man." And she just said, "No, she just had no idea what I was talking about."
Was he like walking on the side of the road or doing anything specific?
No, he's just kind of standing there. Just old man, pale skin and gray hair, but he looked like just a normal old guy, except we live in a small town, so we're taking country roads, and he shouldn't have been out, you know. It was still a good couple of miles from the town, and he was just kind of standing there on the side of the road in a real nice suit. He was just standing there. Real weird.
Yeah, I love these stories of these just weird figures that kind of crop up that shouldn't be there. You know, even if they end up being real people, it's just, you know, very interesting stories of, you know, these people that just, or these strange, you know, out of place people or bunny people or whatever they are that just kind of appear places, and it's very, very strange. But I do enjoy them.
A couple of weeks after I saw the old man, I was on the same road that I was taking my friend home, but I was a little bit further down and kind of into town. And I was driving past a church, and I saw a figure that looked like kind of like a young girl just like crouched down in the grass. And I paid it no attention, and I was just like, it's nothing. You know, it was kind of like it was kind of a water heater or something. That's what my brain told me it was. But then, like, later on, I was like, no, it was a little girl just kind of crouched down, but I haven't gone to the church to investigate or anything. And if it wasn't late at night, you know, it would have just been a little girl playing in the grass, but...
Right. Yeah, it's an odd time to see a child.
Yeah, and especially because it was just a child. Like, if it was the parents, you know, they're out for a late night stroll. It's a quiet town, so it would have been fine to go out for a stroll, but just
right.
A little...
Or a bunch of kids playing hide-and-seek or something.
Yeah. A few more weeks after that one, this is probably one of my favorite stories of what had happened. And I am absolutely not absolutely convinced, but I am fairly certain it was a skinwalker, because I was driving home, and this was during the summer, I would say about July of this year. And it wasn't like during the day, it was about dusk, because I didn't have my headlights on, but it was getting towards nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see this guy up ahead, just working on his fence or something. He's kind of crouched down. And that's normal out in the country. It was just people repairing fences or something. And the next thing I know, the guy's gone, and there's a hog running across the road right in front of me. And I slam on the brakes because I didn't want to hit it, and I'm looking around, and I can't see this guy anywhere. And this animal had just run out, and the guy was gone. And I told one of my friends about it, and he was like, "You saw a skinwalker." And I was like, I didn't know they were around in, like, central Texas area. I've always heard it was more Arizona and New Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard similar legends, you know, even pretty far east, honestly. And I think, you know, I don't know if there's different shape changers or whatever they might be, you know, whatever's going on there, that are people on, you know, they've heard the skinwalker stories, so they're calling these things skinwalkers, or if this, you know, whatever these witches they say they are, or you know, shape changing entities, whatever they are, if they are, you know, spreading out from the Southwest. Because Yeah, it just seemed like, you know, that's kind of where the stories originated, but they're getting more and more. We're getting them from other places.
Yeah, and it was something that I had just never paid much attention to. I was like, oh, it's, you know, folk tales or whatever. And then, you know, after seeing something like that, it's like, well, I guess I can't really just ignore it anymore, because I witnessed a man on the side of the road and then he was gone, and then there was an animal like almost exactly where he was standing run out to my car and disappeared into a field on the other side of the road.
Do you remember any details about the man, the way he looked, the way he was dressed, anything?
He was shirtless and in blue jeans, but, you know, for the summer, that's kind of normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he had short brown hair, but he was still too far to like get, you know, good look of his face. He looked young, and I wouldn't say he was like ridiculously hairy or anything. He just looked like a normal guy that was shirtless. He kind of looked like he was working on the fence, which is what I thought it was, what he was doing.
Right. Right. And did it look like a domestic hog or more like a wild hog?
No, it was definitely a wild hog. And I've had experiences in that same place of wild hogs running through like since then, but I've never seen like a man that disappears and then a hog runs out.
Well, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Was it a, you know, large hog or just average size?
I'd say it was pretty big. I mean, it ran across, it was enough to where I was legitimately worried about my car when I had to like slam on the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it looked like it could deal some damage to the car if I hit it.
Yeah. Now, did you experience anything after this? Any like weird noises at your house? Any, you know, sleep disturbances? Anything else after this?
There was one time where my bed faces a window, and I was laying looking out at night, and a shadow ran by the window. But that was a moment where I was just like, that was a cat. I'm going to ignore it. I don't care what it was. That was a cat, and I'm going to bed. So it could have been one of my cats, but I didn't know where they were at the moment, so they could have been outside. But it ran across the porch right in front of my window, and I rolled over and was like, I'm not dealing with that.
How long after seeing this potential skinwalker did that happen?
A week or two, I would say.
Interesting. Very interesting. But nothing since?
Nothing related to that. I had, like, there was a incident with a white light following me home, and I thought it was like a car or a motorcycle until I pulled off onto the side of the road and this light kept flashing in my car. And I have to drive through a bunch of country roads, so there's no street lights. You know, if there's another car, you know there's another car behind you. But there was just this white light that kept flashing in my car.
Did it seem like it was at the level of another vehicle, or was it high in the sky? Or
It seemed like, I thought it was a motorcycle behind me, and so I just kind of pulled off because I was curious, because the light kept flashing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, maybe something's wrong. So I pulled off, and nothing passed me, but it pulled off with me and kept flashing. And so I just kind of ignored it and drove home. And eventually, by the time I got home, it had stopped.
Huh.
And then, like, a week ago, there were two red lights that were dancing on my way home from work.
In the sky, or?
Not like really high in the sky, but it was definitely too high to be, you know, like the reflectors of a car or something.
Right. So they weren't brake lights.
No, it was, and they were like, at first I thought it was like reflectors on a fence or something.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the road did turn at that point, but I'd say they were a good like 15 feet off the ground at least. And they were moving and like dancing around each other.
Yeah. Was this out in the country as well?
Yes. Yeah, I was on my way home. I took a different route home, and I saw these two red lights dancing around each other. And I was like, that's peculiar. I'm trying to think if there was anything else about those lights. I just remember they were just red orbs dancing around each other. Like, I wanted to get out, but also part of me was like, I should just leave those alone.
Yeah, don't follow the lights. That's I think this is folkloric advice from all around the world. Just
don't follow lights. And then I think the last story that I have, this happened around Thanksgiving because I was driving back I live with my fiance. I picked her up for Thanksgiving and she lives about 3 hours away. And I think I was driving back to Dallas and there was just a shadow that ran across the road and it looked almost like a man running across the road. If he was like flickering in and out, which was what was weird. And he was like, it looked like a shadow person, but it kind of looked like someone was running past like a picket fence kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran across the road and it looked like he was just kind of blinking across the road. And this is the story I mentioned earlier where some like regular things happened, but because they happened so close to that, it was a little weird because as he ran across, the podcast I was listening to kind of got a little staticky. And then the next electronic billboard I saw was all jarbled up and like messed up. And two things that are just normal things that happen. But right. Like,
yeah, but in relation to that, yeah, that's particularly strange.
Yeah, it was weird. And I just sat there and I was like, there was a man, like a man ran across the street, basically.
Did your fiance see him as well?
No, she was asleep in the car at this point. And I looked over and I was like, of course she is asleep. So I can't be like, oh, you saw that too. But right. No, she was asleep. And it was late at night. And he, like, it just looked like an average sized man. But just, it looked like something in a sci-fi movie of just like trying to be between worlds and just not
mm-hmm.
fully there. Like he's trying to grasp on to like anchor himself in place.
Right.
That's the best way I could describe it.
So having experienced all of these things, and this is coming from someone who's, you know, also experienced a number of odd things in his life. So I'm not asking this as a skeptic. I'm asking this as like, you know, for your opinion. Right. I've talked to several people who said they've never experienced anything, although really when you get down to it, a lot of them actually have. They discount it for whatever reason. But let's take them at their word. Let's say a lot of people never experience anything.
Yeah.
You're experiencing these multiple things. What do you think is behind that? I don't know is an acceptable answer because I don't know for myself. You know, like I don't know really why. But
yeah, I don't have anything. I can't think of like, there's no, I don't have like, oh, a dead family member passed away recently and that's what these are. It's none of that. It's just things that have happened. And I've asked, you know, I have friends who are into more of the occult stuff and, you know, they don't know what it is. You know, they just say, oh yeah, if it's bothering you, just, you know, firmly tell it to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. But I would like to know what it is.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I'll probably die searching for that answer.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's the case with all of this stuff all across the board. I don't think we get to know the answers, unfortunately. I'm open to it if somebody has some answers, but I don't think they're forthcoming. But I do love the mystery, and I do love the stories.
Yeah, you know, there's also kind of the theory of maybe we're just not supposed to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. I mean, maybe the purpose is simply to tell us that there's more to the world than we know and understand.
Yeah. Or I also kind of like the idea of just the trickster element of it's just there is no reason behind why these are happening. It's just, you know, something that's in there just to mess with us.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, absolutely could be the case.
It's interesting. I always, you know, try to keep an eye out for anything. I like to ask other people just the stories they've heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really enjoy about, you know, your podcast and Where Did the Road Go. Like, I like listening to these stories that people have.
Yeah, well, I like collecting them. Every person that comes on and tells their story, I always say someone hears it and they think, oh, I guess I can tell my story too. So thank you, Art, for telling your stories tonight.
Yeah, no problem. It was enjoyable telling them. Thank you for having me.
Who makes Strange Familiars possible, Allison?
Well, I think this is probably not a trick question. It's our patrons.
Absolutely. And I want to take this time to thank them. Thank you so much, patrons. Thank you for all you do and all the support you give us. You make Strange Familiars possible, and we couldn't do it without you. If you like what we do, if you like the content we make, and you want to get more of it, and you want to support the show, the best way is by becoming a patron at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. There's lots of different options there, different levels. If you want to get stuff like t-shirts or copies of my book signed, copies of my artwork, stickers, pins, all kinds of options there. Or if you just want to go in at $3 a month, you can get extra content. And we do full extra shows for our patrons every month, at least one full episode of Strange Familiars. Often we do more than one, but we do guarantee that one full episode of Strange Familiars every month for our patrons. So you're supporting the show and you get extra content as well. Check out all the options at Patreon. Again, that's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. If you want to support the show, but you don't like the idea of that monthly subscription like Patreon, you can make a one-time donation at PayPal. Just go to strangefamiliars.com, look under the show notes for any episode. You'll see a paypal.me link. You can click on that and make a donation via PayPal. Everyone can help by sharing the show on social media, liking and subscribing wherever you're listening, whatever podcatcher you use, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Google, Stitcher, wherever you listen, even YouTube. And make sure to leave us those nice 5-star reviews, because that really helps get the show in front of new potential listeners. You never got to meet my dog, Barney.
I've heard tell of him.
I know. I talk about him all the time.
I know. We saw pictures of him as a dog who died when you were, a teenager?
First year of college.
Yeah.
I spent third grade through college with this dog. And he was the perfect puppy. Absolutely was the perfect puppy.
But not every puppy starts out perfect.
And the thing is, I can't tell you how he became the perfect puppy. So I couldn't help you make the perfect puppy. We had this perfect relationship between us. If you want that with your puppy and you want help getting that perfect relationship, you want 90 days to the perfect puppy. They will help you understand how your dog thinks, which is not the way you think. And they will help you apply proactive training methods so you can have the perfect relationship with your puppy. It's a relationship-based approach that helps you and your puppy become perfect for each other. They have online sources, video lessons, a secret Facebook group, and there are one-on-one options available as well. You can find it at sithappens.us. You look for the 90 days to the perfect puppy link at the top of the page. You can click on that, and that'll take you to 90 days to the perfect puppy. I'd like to take this time to thank Jason W. for a PayPal donation. Thank you very much, Jason. I think he's made them in the past as well. So a repeat donator. Thank you very much.
You need one of those
much.
Pins like they give you when you've donated enough blood to make a gallon.
So for photo of the week.
Yeah, you're always like, we try to make it thematic. And I'm like, so what's the theme? And then you'll tell me. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have any photos of ghosts.
Or legs.
Or legs.
Disembodied legs.
Or Bigfoot. But I did come up with sort of a shadowy theme.
Yeah, now this is one of the most unintentionally spooky genres of photos there is. It's completely benign. There's nothing spooky meant by it. But it's so eerie and spooky that I absolutely love this genre. And I don't even remember, it's very early into our collecting photographs that we discovered this. I don't even think we knew a name for it. We started seeing these photographs, and then later on we discovered that these are called hidden mother photos. And I'll let you describe what they are.
Well, basically, it's really hard to keep a wiggly child in place for even a short exposure period of time. And so what they would do is just throw some kind of piece of fabric or something in the studio over the mother. And then the mother would hold the child in place. And then the part that would be covered by a mat might expose the fact that you could actually see the mother's shape underneath it. But not always is that the case. And sometimes it's very obvious that there's a figure with a piece of fabric thrown over their head holding a child. And because of the black and white and the sharp contrast, sometimes it just looks shadowy, hooded
Yes, it's basically a shroud.
A shroud holding a child.
Holding a baby. Yeah, they're very, very creepy. And again, unintentionally creepy. It's a completely benign thing. It's simply a mother, usually. So I'm sure there are hidden father photos as well.
Yeah, I've had one of those too. And sometimes they're like kind of playful where you could... Because all this part was supposed to be hidden under a mat. So if you take the mat off of like either a cased image or one in like this one's in a little cartouche sleeve, they'll reveal the part that was never meant to be seen. And so I've had ones where there's like a father peeking out over a chair, or there's like, a lot of times you'll see just like a random stray arm trying to hold a kid in place. This one, I think if we took the mat off of it, it's sealed, so I don't really want to do that, but I think you would probably see even more of a little bit of a...
The head and shoulders
of the mother. But you can see underneath this black piece of fabric, there's the arm coming around to hold the child. Sometimes people will say that these are like post-mortem, but it makes absolutely no sense. It's totally counterintuitive because, I mean, this is sad, but what children are the easiest to pose?
Yeah, post-mortem children.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
you absolutely do not need a hidden mother with the post-mortem
and so
child.
You were never meant to see these pictures the way that people show them now. So they're this the sort of... It's like an accidental creepiness.
Yeah, yeah. That said... Still creepy. I absolutely love them.
I think it's a wonderful metaphor for motherhood, because I think that's what motherhood feels like a lot of times. Like, you're just trying to hold on to a child while someone's slumped a shroud over you. I mean,
all of these thoughts and more will be in Allison's forthcoming book on motherhood, Beneath the Shroud.
That and my... Did I tell you about my book that no one will buy? It's going to be an adjunct book to go with your book and Josh's book.
Oh, your feminist Bigfoot book.
Yes.
We can get into that in one second. Let's finish up our thoughts on The Hidden Mother. So this is another tin type, like last week's?
Yeah, so this one is actually still sealed in the original sleeve. So this puts it, with this decorative sleeve, puts it like about the time of the Civil War, roughly.
It's basically a paper sleeve, right?
It's a pressed paper sleeve. It's a really cute little baby and probably a christening dress. But there is this shrouded figure behind she or he and a little arm you can see.
kind of reaching around
to hold the baby in place, probably somewhere in the folds of the fabric.
Very, very cool. Hidden mother photograph, tin type. What are we asking for this?
$20.
Look in the show notes. Under this episode at strangefamiliars.com, there'll be a picture of this. You can click on it. It'll take you right to our Etsy store where you can purchase this. Speaking of Etsy store, I had done the artwork for every Springheel Jack episode, all the illustrations. One person bought them all, got the whole collection. They bought them one at a time as I put them up, episode after episode. Since they bought the other three, when I put the last one up, I gave them a shout out ahead of time. It's like, so, hey, if you want the complete collection, it's available now, because I thought, what a shame it would be. This person's bought the other three. They might as well have first shot at the last one. But one person has that entire collection, which I think is really neat. And hopefully they are enjoying their original artwork. But the original artwork for this episode should be up in the Etsy store as well, if you're interested in buying some of my original art. So check that out. That'll be in the show notes as well. You can click on that. It'll take you to the Etsy store, just like the photo of the week. So back to the Bigfoot book. I'm very excited about this. You're actively reading the book and taking notes, which I'm a little afraid of. I think this is going to be the most challenging interview we do, Josh and I. You are going to interview Josh and I on Strange Familiars.
Yep.
And you have this idea for the feminist Bigfoot book, right? Based on...
This is based off of some of the things I've read in your book.
Okay. Let's have it.
Oh, no, I'm not giving any of it away ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
That's just filed away in the books that no one would purchase.
Oh, okay. Like your Motherhood Beneath the Shroud book. And
yeah, I think that's more saleable, though.
Than the feminist Bigfoot?
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't know. Bigfoot is big right now. Mm-hmm. Bigfoot is big right now.
Not so much with women.
I think you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. I think you'd be surprised.
If you were going to talk about the average Bigfoot aficionado.
Well, honestly, I think you have, as in many things, and you can tell me I'm wrong, often the male portion of any fan base or audience is, shall we say, a little more boisterous than the female portion. And
is that why you're always mansplaining Bigfoot to me?
I hope I'm not.
No, I'm just kidding.
I hope I don't do that. I'm incessantly babbling about Bigfoot. I don't think it's necessarily mansplaining. But I would say that it's probably a lot closer to 50-50 than you might think. I think the idea is that it's a boys' club. Mm-hmm. But I think, honestly, it's just men often tend to be a little more boisterous and a little more out there. You know, they tend to put mm-hmm. themselves out there. And I think you have these guys running around the woods doing Army Man cosplay in their camouflage and stuff. And basically, they've made boys' clubs out of this thing. But I don't think that necessarily represents the phenomenon as a whole. As far as people's general interest in Bigfoot, I would really put it almost at 50-50. There's a lot of interest from women in Bigfoot, as far as I can tell from my contact with people, you know, via conferences, via Strange Familiars, everything else. So that's my take on it. I could be wrong.
Well, thank you for mansplaining to me how how wrong I am about...
I'm parasplaining.
Parasplaining.
All right, so that's it for this episode of Strange Familiars. Patrons, we should have a show coming up for you soon, if not more than one. There's a couple different ways that might be going. We have a couple different shows in the work for patrons here. So that should be coming soon. Otherwise, we will talk to you all next week. We'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more, darkhollerarts.com. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. Go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com for more. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can also join the Strange Familiars gathering group. And we are on Instagram, @strangefamiliars.
Like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.